Well, we are thankful for our mothers on this day that set aside to particularly remember them. And we like to give them a little token of our thoughts and appreciations. Have a bookmark this day that goes along with the sermon, which probably won't get finished today, but within the next 2 or 3 weeks. But happy Mother's Day 2020. Isaiah 66:13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted. And then another verse on the back on Deuteronomy 32:11-12. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him, or God's sovereignty and his work. And this year we're giving our moms a wall thermometer. They're more like a thermostat than a thermometer. They set the atmosphere for the family, but it's a business reminder.
I don't think this is working. You're still praying.
Oh.
Online, you're still praying.
Oh, I don't know then.
Everybody dropped off, too.
Well?
They said it's dropping signal.
It says it's still going,
okay.
So we'll see what's happening. And we're all done.
It shows you still taking prayer requests. Going through the
prayer. Yeah. Levels. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Maybe you just fell off. Okay, this week I have a special message for Mother's Day. And as I said, I don't think there's any way I'll finish it this week. In fact, there's something else I wanted to touch on the end, dealing with the last verse I read there. That'll probably take me maybe another week beyond that. But what we want to do today in the light of Mother's Day is look how God the Father's nature is revealed in mothers. God's nature is revealed in mankind in its totality. God is our Heavenly Father. And it's proper and right and correct that we recognize and refer to him as such. Throughout the scriptures, God is revealed as Father, never directly as Mother. I know in this modern feminist world, you see folks who even profess to be Christians that refer to God as Mother. And that is against scripture. That is, I think, blasphemous. God is our Heavenly Father. Isaiah 63:16. Doubtless thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Our Lord told us in Matthew 6:9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or said, pray our Father. Not again, as many of these modernists and feminists do, and speak of our mother. We're to pray our Father. Matthew 5, the Lord said in verse 16, said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In John 20, in verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And then in Romans, Paul writes to the saints in Rome, in Romans 8, verse 15. He says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Nowhere in Scripture is God identified as mother. Nowhere is he identified as feminine. And to address him thusly is erroneous, is disrespectful, is heretical, is apostate, is pagan. We see folks talk about, you know, Mother Nature and Mother Earth. Is blasphemous. Doesn't matter how politically correct it may be in this day and age. There one fellow that I read as I was studying that said this. He said, "There are no verses that say God actually is a mother. However, God is compared to a mother. And he is even likened to a hen brooding over her chicks. But we should no more worship him as Mother God than we should pray to God as the holy chicken." Again, God's nature is demonstrated, is revealed, to some degree at least, in mankind. And mankind consists of male and female. And we should recognize as well that in the human sense, God is neither male nor female. God is spirit. But he has chosen to reveal himself as Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did indeed become a man. He did indeed become a male human being. And he now and shall ever exist as a glorified man and as a representative of all mankind, which consists of both male and female. And we need to understand, and we talked about this to some degree when we were studying through Galatians, God's nature is only properly exhibited in the completeness of mankind, in the male and the female, in the man and in the woman. And it's in this completeness and in this distinction between the two that God is revealed in man. And when we seek to blur that distinction, when we seek to obliterate those differences, we obliterate the image of God in man. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, beginning in verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be ye fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God created man in his image. And that consisted of male and female. In Genesis 5, we read this in verse 1. "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. Folks that get upset with the use of the term man and mankind and chairman and whatever things, they have no comprehension. In fact, the Lord said even that name Adam applied to both the male and the female. He called their name Adam, and in that day they were created. Without the female, the image of God is not complete in man. And it's proper we reflect upon that and look at Scripture where it's revealed. Without the female, man is not truly man. And thus God's likeness is revealed in the male and the female. And as we begin to look today and maybe the next couple weeks, we'll see in Scripture that it's revealed and demonstrated that God has attributes that are manifested, that are demonstrated, that are shown forth by both male and female, by both mothers and fathers. There are specific attributes and characteristics of God that are specifically demonstrated, illustrated, manifested in the female, and particularly in the mother. And we looked at some of those verses. God chose to do that. It's appropriate that we consider some of the characteristics of a mother that illustrates to us the very nature of God. The old Puritan commentator Matthew Henry said this. He said, God comforts us not only with the rational arguments which a prudent father uses, but with the tender affections and compassions of a loving mother. On the other hand, we look at the perversions of Rome that don't recognize that. And if you don't recognize those aspects and those parts of God's nature, you may get to the point, as Rome does, where they think there needs to be a co-mediatrix. You need to have the feminine to appeal to. And so they elevate Mary almost to a position of the Godhead. And in doing, they pull down the loftiness of the Godhead. There is no co-mediatrix needed, because God's nature encompasses all those things that we need. And so the Scripture is abundantly clear that God's character and his nature is revealed in mothers. And we'll look at several aspects of that. First, we'll look at this. God is compassionate like a mother. Women in general, mothers in particular, tend to be more compassionate. And not only do our children recognize that, I think we had an illustration of that today when I was having to deal with my own little dog. You know, he knows mom's going to be more compassionate than dad. You know, and sometimes it may not be a good thing, but regardless, moms tend to be more compassionate. And God's nature is revealed in this sense in the compassion of a mother. I read where mother said, whether moms are more compassionate or not, she said, sometimes it depends upon the time of day. And there may be some truth to that as well. And I think back on one incident that I'd recorded here from a while back, but my granddaughter, who's graduating from high school and getting her associate's degree at the same time, heading off to nursing school, she was one of our Confederate Memorial Days, and she fell and scraped her knee. And what does Grandpa do? He says, what happened? What were you doing? You know, let's fix it with alcohol. And her mom picked her up and cuddled and rocked her and comforted her. Now, that's illustration of the compassion of a mother. Not that we men and fathers and grandfathers can't use a little more of that. Because God says that reflects his character as well. And we ought to seek to reflect the character of God. And as the verse that was on the bookmark that we made for mothers today, in Isaiah 63 and verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. People understand that, because that's the way God made people. That's the way God made male and female. And that's the way God's nature is revealed fully in the two. And the Lord says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. God created us. God chose us in Christ. God cares for us with an everlasting love. And something akin to what a child is created by God, of course, but a child is created within his mother's womb. The mother, through that process, forms a lasting and strong bond of compassion to her offspring. We're God's offspring. We were chosen in Christ. And as a result of that experience of forming and bringing forth that child and taking an intimate part in the creation of that child by God's grace. And so there's formed this great compassion, this great bond. And it's a very rare thing for a mother to lose this bond of affection, this bond of compassion to her child. And as rare as that would be, it would be rarer still, in fact, yet impossible for God to forget his chosen ones. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 49 and verse 15, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Rare thing that a mother would forget the compassion of the product of her womb. And yet, in this twisted age in which we live, we see that it can happen. And probably more increasingly so, and we'll look at that later, as verses in Scripture that indicate that. As we enter into the end times. But God has compassion upon us, and he'll never forget. In fact, it says we're graven upon his palms. And I can't help but think when I read that we're graven upon his palms, the way that the names of the tribes of Israel were engraved upon the breastplate of the high priest. And as he represented them, as he came before the mercy seat, and made atonement for the nation and represented each of the tribes. Exodus 39, verse 14. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, every one with his name according to the 12 tribes, were engraved upon his hands. Consider the Savior's words concerning the hands of God in John 10 and verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Compassion of God's hands graven on his palms, held firmly in his hand. And even in the specific case of our Savior, the very nail prints in his hands in Luke 24 and verse 36. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he thus spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. We can have no doubt that the Lord possesses great care and love and compassion to his own children, even as a mother has compassion upon her own offspring. His love and compassion surpasses that great love, even of a mother. As the Lord said, a woman may forget, but he'll not. And again, it's strange and contrary to nature, but Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. It says, Thus know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And so we see when a mother forgets her own child, forgets to have compassion upon her own offspring, the one who was formed within her own womb. But God says, he'll never forget. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God has great compassion upon his children. He has great compassion upon those that he chose in Christ from before the foundation of the world. He has compassion like unto that of a mother. Compassion that's demonstrated by those mothers that have been in our life. And next we'll consider a related aspect of God's nature, and that's comforting. He's compassionate like a mother. He is also comforting like a mother. And we'll pick up with that next week as we continue to look at the revelation of God's nature in mothers, remembering all along that he is our Heavenly Father. Okay, let's take our hymnals, one of my wife's favorite songs, and one that was referenced at least in passing in the special song I sang, The Lily of the Valley, will stand number 56. Stand and sing this closing hymn together, The Lily of the Valley, number 56.
Of 10,000 to my soul. He's a lily of the valley, and him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. And sorrow, he's my comfort, in trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's a lily of the valley, the rising morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to all my griefs is taken, and all my sorrows gone. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan take me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 2,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me. While I live by faith and will his blessing, oh, all the fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his matter, he my humble soul shall fill. Men sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's a lily of the valley,
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that's set aside as yours. We thank you for our Savior and his completed atonement and victory over death. Father, we thank you for those that you chose in Christ before the world was. Lord, we thank you for the mothers that you brought into our lives and the things that you've taught us through them. And Lord, we thank you for the compassion that was demonstrated. And Lord, we thank you for the knowledge that your compassion upon your elect surpasses that even of a loving mother, surpasses that even of one that brought forth a child and nursed it and raised it. Well, we thank you that we know you'll never forget those that are yours, and or were graven on your hand, and none can pluck us from your hand. Father, we thank you for that great truth. Thank you, Lord, for the way you demonstrate that by those you've brought into our life. Lord, we pray that you be again with our sister churches, sisters and brothers in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to meet today. May you be glorified this week in your people. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.